Hello there. This episode is sponsored by myself. PadawanUnlimited.com is now an official website and has a variety of single cards that you can buy at reasonable prices to fill your collection. New cards are added regularly. Check it out and let me know what you think. Without further ado, here's our very special show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast, a Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. This week, I am again joined by Corey and Rob, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We're actually going live with, well, not live, but like videoing ourselves as we talk, trying something different. I hope everyone who's listening enjoys. Rob, Corey, how are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Excited to show the world my beautiful mug.
Yeah, there you go. First time on camera, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll look good.
Is that what the thing, or this, whatever that is?
Oh, that's yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who are just listening to this, we're doing like hand gestures about like hearts and like cutesy stuff, like kawaii, like Japanese style.
So, I can't even do the heart right.
No, that's not. Yeah, that's not the way. Gotta do some weird thing like this now.
Oh yeah, the figure. Yeah, that's.
Oh, it's like it's this. It's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Like... No. Anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Are you video what, viewers? Get a treat there.
What's the right way to do that?
Audio content here.
So we have some interesting. We have an interesting topic, I think, today. Which is kind of we're ending the year of 2024. We're also ending, like, I guess the first year that SWU has been Star Wars Unlimited has been playing.
Yep.
So I really just want to talk about that year review. I know we still have like a week and a half left or 2 weeks, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Everybody does their like best ofs now, right? So
yeah, you know, that's just, I think that's like the time the time to do it. And you know, Rob, well, we'll start with you actually, because you just came off your fresh 3-0 win at Bearded Dragon Games, as you were mentioning earlier. So tell me about your year of SWU. You know, how did it start? Where is it now?
Yeah, so year of SWU. Actually, the funny thing is Sam is the one. Sam, who's my girlfriend and Gil's sister-in-law, was the one who kind of, I don't say dragged me kicking and screaming in, but I was definitely resistant to starting a TCG. I hadn't played a TCG since Magic, really, and that was, you know, probably 20 years ago. And she's like, "Yeah, Gil's playing this, you know, this SWU game. I think you might like it. They really, really, you know, like you and Stevie had just started playing it." I was just like, "All right, fine. I guess we'll get the starter." And it was just like, okay,
got you hooked.
Gotcha. You know, I mean, like, I'm a big Star Wars nerd, Gil, you know this. So like, you know, there was all the lore and all the kind of stuff around it, you know, was the trappings that kind of dragged me in, but the core of the game was solid enough to kind of keep my interest, right? Like if it had just been Star Wars, I don't think it would have held my interest.
Yeah.
So, you know, so for me, you know, things that I learned this year, I mean, one, you probably only need 3 booster boxes to get a full play set. Well, not a full play set, but a full play set of commons and uncommons, you know, and then the rest of the stuff, just buy in singles. Like it's so much cheaper. Holy crap.
Oh, it is a whole, so much.
Yeah. Like I hate giving into the TCG player machine, but you know, it's, it turns out, if you keep going fishing, you aren't always going to hit. So,
I hear that. Yeah. Corey, did you get grabbed kicking and screaming as well? Or did you fall in love at first sight?
So yeah, like basically I didn't even want to like look at Star Wars Unlimited at all when I first heard about it because of the fact that I stayed away from TCGs for so long. So I have an addictive personality.
And
I knew if I was going to get into a card game, I was going to go full blown all in. Like it was going to be bad, especially for my wallet. And so I was like,
"Don't want to do it."
And so then like, and then a couple other people were getting in. I think actually one of our board game buddies, Ryan, bought some boxes. I was like, this does look kind of cool. I like some of the rule sets because I didn't really like how Magic played. I like they changed it up. It's like, sure, I'll cave and I'll get a box because at the time you could get boxes and they were going up. It was like things were starting to increase because initially it was like $90 for a booster box, and then it started slowly going up. It's like, wait, they're above MSRP right now? Like this is crazy. So I bought three boxes, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna buy three boxes. That's it. I'm not gonna get too invested into this. And first pack, Vader. Second
Oh
pack,
my God.
Boba.
Oh
Third
my
pack,
gosh.
Millennium Falcon. I was like, oh, this is easy. What am I doing? And so once I did that and I played my first game, I was hooked and never looked back. And I what I learned was I was right. I threw a lot of money at this game and I really enjoy opening packs.
Oh my
So.
God.
Yep. Well,
I
and like the game is, but again, it's if it was just opening packs though, the game is solid. Like that's the thing. And
Well,
you
that's
mentioned
what
it,
keeps
Cole.
you there, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what keeps you there. I mean, like you mentioned it, Corey. Like I played Magic back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and like Magic was Magic, right? And Magic really hasn't changed its formula drastically in the last 20 years. And you know, there were some things I really didn't like about Magic, but this to me solved a lot of the things that I really didn't like. You know, you have the leader, which is kind of what Commander does, right? But the leader really impacts what you do in each game, how you build each deck. You are never going to be mana screwed, you because it all your resources are based off of cards that you have.
Two
The
card
alter and
draw
the
is
alternating
really
actions,
important,
so
I think.
and the alternating action, that was the like the cherry on top, right? You know, I can, as you guys have probably heard, I came from miniature wargaming, and you know, the whole I take my massive turn and then you take your massive turn mechanic gets kind of old, particularly like in wargaming when it's like, okay, well, you took 45 minutes to take your turn and now I get to take my 45 minute turn. But even in Magic, where it's just like, all right, I'm gonna pull off this super combo because I drew the cards, and do you have an interrupt? No? Well, then I'm gonna do the whole thing and you're gonna die. And like that just never felt great to me. So like you were playing, you know, and particularly at high level Magic, you're playing to like basically interrupt those combos, know what those combos are, find what the big three decks are, and find the ways to interrupt them. You know, and this, you know, now granted, Boba was a problem, but now post Boba, the meta is very healthy. And there's a lot of design space and play space where you can kind of like there's still you're still playing to the archetypes, but you still can, you know, do some weird off meta stuff. You can still play on meta, and there's still plenty of room there too. You know, there's multiple decks now. It just the game is robust, and that's huge.
Yeah, and I think someone broke it down for me this way. It's like, because I'm like similar stories. Like I haven't played TCGs like pretty much ever. Like Pokemon, you know, back when it first came out, when got up to Team Rocket like expansion and it just stopped, right? It's highly accessible. The rules are relatively simple, like simplified. The gameplay is fast paced. You're not really waiting too long to take your turn or whatever. It's like they took the best of a lot of different other trading card games and they mashed it up into the Star Wars IP. And you know, hearing that story about how a lot of people how people weren't playing trading card games and just got into it and like have stayed, you know, is really cool. And it really speaks to the strength of the not only the game but also just the community, because even like at PAX, Gen Con or whatever, being there, seeing the lines form for the learned plays, and that the fact a lot of them are like longer than Lorcana, with the same table space is wild to me. I think that this was. Walking into that random store for the first time and seeing some people play pre-release and buying five packs was like, I did not realize how deep I was going to get into with just that humble beginning.
And they did a great job of utilizing the Star Wars universe and the characters and implementing things that you are familiar with into the gameplay as well, which is not an oversight, obviously, and something that I think that they did take a hard look at. It's like, how can we make this fit this character so well? Like some of it was like coincidental, but some of it was intentional. And it feels so good. And like seeing certain synergies with characters, like the droids, initially with R2 and C-3PO and how they work together so well. It's like, oh, that makes sense. This is cool.
Or Han shooting first.
Han shooting first, yeah.
That is pretty funny with his ambush ability. It's like I forget how they did it. I think they talked about it one time, but they kept the theme of the characters into the mechanics, which is like such a brilliant,
Yeah,
brilliant move,
exactly.
I'll say.
Yeah,
So,
and go ahead. Yeah, you
so
go
so
for
talking
it.
about like buying product, I wish that I knew this year about the singles market going into the game. And just one of those things that like probably would have been better for the wallet overall. But it's still the, I mean, it doesn't take away from the fact that I thoroughly enjoyed opening packs for the past however many months, 8 months, I guess, 6 months. Yeah. Did you guys kind of, were you guys already kind of plugged in with that kind of like environment, like just the TCG environment at all? Like, did you already know about these things coming in?
I mean, my friends are really into Magic. I have a couple buddies that are into it, and I collect Magic. I don't play Magic, but I collect cards, and so I do know about like the singles market and TCG player and that kind of thing. I didn't think it was going to be as, especially with Spark, because Spark of Rebellion, the first set just blew up, and cards were just going crazy because the product was limited. It was hard to find, and so people wanted to get those, bomb cards, and in order to do that, the single market just blew up. And so I didn't realize it was gonna be that big, but I knew it was a thing. I still, like, for me, I want to open those cards. I want to be the one to be like,
You want to
open the
find
pack
it.
and it's like, oh, there he is. I needed this card. Oh my gosh, this is my first cunning or whatever. And so that feeling, that dopamine hit, like, it's just like, oh, it's hard for me to just like, oh, I'm gonna buy it. But I did break down and buy a lot of hyperspace cards that I want, because I want to get hyperspace, full hyperspace deck. I just haven't gotten that completed out yet, but I will probably just end up buying those cards usually at the end of the day.
And for me, I didn't really necessarily know about it, but I figured it out pretty quick. I knew the singles market was a thing, because I have friends who ran, board game stores, and or gaming stores, and so for a long time, Magic, that's how they sustain. They sustain themselves by selling singles. So I knew it existed, but I didn't realize there was kind of a centralized marketplace like TCG Player. And so, as I started to be like, okay, am I going to play this seriously? Yeah, I'm going to play this seriously. Okay, am I really going to be paying $10 a pack to gamble, or do I just buy the cards? And that was when Spark was, getting
Oh
nuts.
my gosh, yeah.
So that, and that's what I just started doing, where it was just like, all right, I still want to open packs because opening packs is fun, but at some point, it's just like I said, you get about three booster boxes, you're going to have a full play set of commons and uncommons and a pretty good smattering of rares and legendaries, and then you can fill in the gaps.
Yeah, I will say, as just to reiterate or explain it for those of you who might be listening and are actually new, relatively new to trading card games in general, just like myself. Like, I did not know the singles market is the place where you can buy like, it's self-explanatory almost. You could buy individual cards that you need so that you are not breaking the bank trying to, play that you're not gambling. Essentially, to play, you're not playing that RNG for packs or in boxes. There are a variety of ways to obtain singles. TCG Player is probably the biggest platform and the most popular, but they are in that sense also priciest, the most pricey. So, if you're trying to go into the singles market, there's other places you can do that. You could even go on eBay, for example.
Or just your friendly local
Your
game
friendly, yeah,
store.
friendly local game store. They always have ask to see if they have a binder of cards. And I didn't know that this was a thing. Honestly, like, I didn't know it was a thing until I saw someone just pop out, like, go to the counter and ask, hey, are you selling singles? And then they just popped out this huge, like, three ring, binder full of cards. I was like, what? This exists? Or I mean, it seems obvious now in hindsight, but like, I think it's just important for those, especially those who are new to, to be aware of that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, yeah, that's the but you're talking about the community too. Like, that has been what's so great about this, is that people have been excited and are offering, and like the trades that you can do has been so much fun. Just going to an event, being like, oh, you guys have trades, Like, are you looking for this? I'm looking for that. And just being able to interact with people and do that has been thoroughly enjoyable as far as what this game has offered. And the community has been very welcoming in that sense as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I was gonna say that's how you get your foil Charizard, right?
Oh my God, foil Charizard! I wish. Hey, who knows? I don't know how, the length of how long Star Wars Unlimited is gonna go. If it's gonna go the distance, I think the average is like for TCG is like maybe 5 years
Years at the
years.
most. Yeah, 5 years is good, I would say, for most, like on average. Like you don't usually see like the Yu-Gi-Oh's and the Pokemons and obviously the Magic's last 20, 30 years, but
Well,
maybe there's hope.
I think there's some strong legs here because not only are the mechanics pretty strong, as the community has stabilized, I mean, I think there's a huge influx. Like, this is definitely not the same like community it was when the first game first came out. Like, I remember that,
Agreed.
people are going like 20, 30 deep in like a local weekly play, which is wild. Now it's more like 4 to 15, which I think it's stabilized, but I think it's a healthy level of stabilization. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, our local at Mythicos is probably between, four and eight on a given night, depending on, schedules and whatnot. But even at Bearded, we're usually pretty consistently about eight people. And that's always good to see. Like, that's healthy competition. And the community up here in New Jersey, in particular, New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, is fairly competitive for this. There's a lot of big name players in the area. So there's a lot of interest in the game itself. I mean, heck, tonight, just as an example, we had a couple of new players. So it was myself and Lau. We had two new players who were home for the holidays from Greenland who were playing.
Really? Oh my gosh. That's cool.
They're going to be coming out Monday night. I'm going to give them a bunch of bulk, to kind of get them there because they've only been able to get limited amounts of product. But it's about building that community I'm offloading bulk, sure. But for them who they can't get the product regularly, I mean, frankly, Greenland doesn't get a whole lot of, they don't even have a game store, they're saying. That's something that will keep them, alive in the community. And, whether it's just completely digitally or they can play with their friends, like, that's a way to kind of, spread goodwill within the community and grow it. Yeah, okay, it's in Greenland, but like, those people, could they come back over the holidays, they're going to be here. They're going to want to continue to play if, and they're going to want to play it in their hometown. That's how you do it. It sounds crazy, and this is an extreme example, obviously, but it's like, but that's how you do it. You start small, you bring people in, you give, the first hit's free, right?
The first hit's free. Oh my goodness.
Well, like the thing is, like being kind is so like that's all that's what it is, right? Just be kind to people and show them what like this what your enjoyment of something and your love of something and that passion kind of bleeds through and it can be contagious and it can spread. And that's what this community has been for me, at least, just to see everything. And like, you don't have too many toxic people in this community so far. I haven't really seen that. That's
Yeah,
true.
it's good. It's been good, really.
I've seen some people complain about like the sets, just cards, but like actually like bad actors. Anyway, just like everyone's gonna complain once in a while for about the cards, like, oh, this set doesn't make any sense, or what about this mechanic, whatever. But in terms of like actual bad actors that are like, pushing people away. Like, if you walk into a Star Wars Unlimited event, I think more often than not, I mean, pretty much every time that I've walked in, they're like, "Oh, hey, you want to learn how to play? Do you know the game? You want to play?" Like, no one's like, elite about it. And I think that's pretty cool, especially coming off the bat, because that's the tone, that's the initial culture for the game. I mean, hopefully it stays that way.
First impressions are so important.
Well, and you and I know this, Corey, from the board game group that we run, but it is about bringing people into the community. And whether it's Star Wars Unlimited, whether it's board games, whether it's whatever, whatever you're doing, like, being friendly, being welcoming, and meeting people where they're at, and bringing them into the hobbies that you enjoy, so that there's more people to play those games with. That's always going to be a win-win for everybody.
100%.
Yeah.
So moving on. The meta has changed slightly, two, three
No more
times.
boba.
Throughout the last throughout these first three sets. As you kind of reflect on what your experience was like. Do you think about do any of you guys think about like you wish you invested more time in a different character? I don't think any of you actually played Boba, for example, so you didn't like play for 6 months and all of a sudden it's gone, you have to learn something new. But do you think you were you, what you were you satisfied with how, what you played and how you played this year, or would you do
I
anything
certainly
different?
have been like I Palpatine, original Palpatine one has been my favorite leader from the start. I just like the character, the ability, control as aspect of it. And so I got to play him initially and then wanted to delve into the aggro style with Sabine. You gotta try Sabine aggros, it's number one. But Kylo was great, played Kylo a lot. And going back to Palpatine, I really haven't like wanted to delve into any of these like off weird characters too much. Like I play whatever is there during the pre-releases to try to test them out, but I just keep coming back to the Palpatine or slash like a Sabine Kylo aggro. Like those are my two like go-tos, I would say.
Hey, you know what you like. How are you, Rob?
So I definitely started with some weirdness. Like I started playing Thrawn, but like
I
Thrawn in
remember
set one.
that. I
So,
remember that. I wanted to play Thrawn because he's my one of my favorite characters in the
Oh,
universe, but
same. Yeah, but what I think I definitely found is that while I tend to think that I like playing control, I find that actually playing control is pretty miserable.
not
And
wrong.
like I keep going back to the well because I'm working on that Cad Bane Blue, but ultimately I think I have the most fun playing aggro and versions of aggro decks. So set one, I was definitely kind of leaning into Iden and Krennic, and I was having a good time with that. But that was like more of a mid-range control, right? So it's a little bit more unit heavy. It's not as like hard control. You're kind of doing so.
Self control,
Yeah, it's off
whatever.
control, exactly. And then I tried to kind of roll that in set two, and I kind of like, I don't want to say I lost my way in set two, but I didn't really. I had a hard time settling on anything. I started in on Kira, and it just it I was banging that deck, and I couldn't get it to work right for me. But then Corey was showing me the Kylo yellow deck, and like I started playing, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the sauce. And then I was also looking at Sabine as well, playing her for a little bit. So I played a little bit of that, and I was like, okay, yeah, this jives with like how I like to play. And then obviously Django has kind of in this set has been kind of a little bit of both, because there are some control elements within the Django deck. But it's filtered through aggro, right? So you're doing control, but you're still playing an aggro game plan, and I think that has really kind of suited me well. So not to say that I'm never going to play control again. I do love control, and I will continue to toy around with it, because as the meta shifts, you need to be able to kind of respond to it. So like right now, aggro is still very strong. And then, because of that, you're going to see more mid-range in theory come out. And then as soon as more mid-range comes out, there's going to be control. And then Django, might come back, might be able to come back again. It just comes into it. But like right now, control is boss control. And boss control is not particularly a great matchup for Django. Although I did win it tonight, but that's those are tough fought matches. That I had to win through the sideboard. I wasn't able to take it in the first match.
No, I hear that. No, for sure. I think I'm still trying to figure out what I like and who I am in this game, like my identity as a player. I mean, you probably see my videos and you kind of see the decks that I bring to locals and stuff. They're all kind of lots of times they're a little wonky,
You are a
Rex.
snowflake, man. You are like a snowflake player.
I actually just started building a Quinlan. I started playing Quinlan Yellow just to
I
like
saw you
try
did a
it.
little tech deck on that,
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I took it to Karabass and I was like winning. I think people just didn't know what to do with it, and they were like surprised that like I was just pinging people down all the time and like played aggressively. I mean, it's not gonna win anything. Like it might take, I mean, not would take anything down. It'll pull some wins, but it's not gonna become a PQ winner. Still figuring myself out. I thought I was aggro, then I went to control. And then now I'm in mid-range.
Gotta
So
test them
I'm
out. Yeah, test them
yeah,
all
it's
out.
gotta catch them all. Shameless plug into Pokemon TCG, I guess. I think, but you know what? In hindsight, this year, I really just wish I started playing Boba, and just did it for the first like 6 months, like because I would have won stuff. Like I probably would have like you know I probably would have actually
You're not wrong.
I probably would have taken down like a showdown at least one. I've done so many and I've placed well in most of them, right? I probably would not have gone 3-4 at a PQ because I wouldn't have played Bray Blue, you know what I mean? Like, which is not going to be a winning deck. I just punished myself, I guess, with jank.
Well, I mean, like there's a reason Boba was so strong. I mean, like he's like stat flip the resources. Like he was just like he was a problem, and it was the meta. Luckily, there was enough there were enough answers to him that he wasn't just like the only thing in the meta, although he was probably 50% of the field. But I don't feel so bad, playing not playing stuff that's like so obviously busted, right? I mean, look, if your goal is to like win some tournaments and go out there, sure, play whatever strongest. I mean, that's and but it's your mileage may vary. Like, what do you want to do, in this game? If you want to win, yeah, play the strongest stuff. I mean, look at me right now. I'm playing probably one of the strongest meta decks in the game right now, but and I've got my own wrinkles in it and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, man, KTOD was like, yeah, cool, this is really good. You guys should play this. And I was like, yeah, I should play this.
That's the thing. It's like, what do you what, like you're just saying, like, what is your end game here? Are you here to have fun? Are you here to try to get a top eight, or are you here to try to win? Like, those are completely different things.
That's true. And so anyone who's listening, don't listen to me in determining how you want to figure yourself out because I still don't know. At least with the game.
Well, no, hey, you
So
guys
we
can
have
find
no, but
yourselves
but
together.
like that's the thing though. Like, you don't have to play like sure, you want to be competitive. Like everybody wants to win games, right? But like you don't have to be like, man, I want to take down a PQ or things like that. It's, find the speed that works for you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, as we have constantly sort of, derided ourselves, we are casual tryhards. Like we're gonna keep trying, and we're still not gonna win events. Like it doesn't matter. Like, maybe if one day we have enough time to sit here and play, 30 hours weekly of this game, maybe we'll get to that point, but we don't. So, like we're gonna play to the best of our abilities and have fun while you're doing that. There's no wrong way to play this game.
That's really what matters, having fun. If you if you're doing if you're just if you're grinding and you're not enjoying yourself, like, why are you doing what you do? So we're okay, we have about 8.5 minutes left. And the reason I'm doing that, really the reason I'm saying that is because we use Zoom.
Shout out
So
to Zoom.
shout out to Zoom, I guess. And I, free. So
They do put a limit on you,
they do
so.
put a limit. We could stitch together two different episodes, I guess, but I don't want to do that. Well, I mean, I could, but so kind of wrapping up, looking into next year, right?
Well, before we do that, real quick, because I know
But
we're on a time crunch here, but I just want to
sure.
shout out the cadence of the releases that they with FFG has done.
Oh yeah.
I like the it comes out March, and then we have a period of time to get familiar with the game, get used to it, learn it, draft, and then do constructed, and then we start getting spoilers for the next set, and we're still playing our set. We're still getting to do the initial set, but then we're getting more and more. I just felt like the way that they've released and the fact that you're getting the releases 4 months apart instead of like Magic, it's like every week I feel like there's a new set. And I know it's early in this setup in this game, but I felt like it's a good cadence as far as the sets coming out, the spoilers that are getting released, the events that are happening. So I just wanted to shout that out.
100% agree with you. For three sets a year is more than enough. And it just gives you the, you get to learn, you get to, they tease you a little bit, and then you get it, and then you're playing it again, and then it's really good. No, I agree with you. I think they could probably do a little bit better in just like helping their stores get organized in terms of like play,
Hopefully they
but
learn a lot this year, and next year we can hit the ground running and be even better.
yeah, for sure. No, but you know that's actually the topic I want to go to. What are we looking forward to next year? So got three more sets, some interesting stuff that's coming
Oh,
out there.
Carbonite boosters, baby. Carbonite boosters.
Premier cards. What are they calling them or something like that? Premieres.
Carbonite, Carbonite edition or whatever.
Well, like the cards themselves, I think, because they have the showcases, you have your hyperspace, and I think
like, I think it's like a carbonite. I think it's called carbonite. Like it's like a carbonite.
Well, carbonite, it's like the collector's pack. But I think the cards themselves are.
I thought the treatment was called carbonite.
No, it's something different.
A premier card or something like that.
Yeah, it's something completely different, actually. I actually don't remember.
I am excited for I'm very excited for those. And we are expecting the prices to be pretty high, but that's expected based off what Magic
does. $300 a box.
Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Not for those prestige cards.
Prestige,
that's what they're called.
There.
Prestige.
I know. I knew it was something like
that. Yeah. I don't know. I might invest. We'll
might,
see.
Might still. Come on.
I know. I know. I don't know. Who do I think I am?
I mean,
I'm too far in.
Probably are going to get a case. So. We'll see. What I think I'm going to do and what I'm excited for is because this is the first set of this premier carbonite collectors whatever edition, I want to probably buy a case and then like set one or two boxes, just like save them and not open them
really
ever.
Oh my gosh,
just have them, like, you know, I think because if this game can just continue, like if this game lasts 10 years, like that would be amazing. And so I'm but the problem
all I'm saying is you're gonna pop open four of them. You're not gonna pull the showcase from the four, and you're gonna sit there waiting there, wondering if it's in the other two.
No, what's gonna happen is I know it's gonna be in there now, and so it's gonna be like, dude, this is the one box that did not get a showcase in the case. So hey, value.
Oh my god, yeah, that's what it is. I'm gonna try to get like a bajillion convention packs. So that can convert them into carbonite.
There you go.
No, that's bad. That's bad for the community. Don't do that. Don't listen to me. Rob, what are you looking forward to next year?
Honestly, I'm curious. I want to see how they adjust. Because they, I don't know if you guys saw this, but on the leaders and the cards, they have a little like A next to the title. So it's like the next set is going to be A set, like A in quotes. So I'm going to be curious how the rotation is going to start to work with this. If they're going to start to say like, hey, you know, now that we're into the third set, we would jump to lights, or the fourth set would jump to light speed. Now X cards move out of rotation. Like, I wonder, I'm curious about how that's going to start to expand and move it. Is it just leaders? Is it going to be, you know, cards themselves, like the full sets themselves? Like, that's really interesting to me to see how the game is going to continue to evolve, because, you know, at some point, like, even with Magic, right? You know, eventually the card pool just gets too huge and it's impossible to keep up with it all. So keeping it fresh by, you know, introducing those types of rotations, I'm going to be curious to see how that plays out. Sounds really
you
cool.
You think it happens next year? Where
I think it does. I mean, they were obviously setting up for it. It may not happen right away, but maybe it's like two sets in and they say, okay, now the first three sets are out. And you can only play the first, you know, these two, you know, so it'd be Jump to Life Speed and Legends of the Force is the second one.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great observation. I don't know if everyone knows that. So if you look very carefully in the bottom middle of the card, like right next, there's like a little A or a little letter to the left of the left center. So, we, you know, like you said, like we think about card rotations, they're already laying the groundwork.
That is a thing in a lot of TCGs you start, like you're saying, getting a lot of different sets and you want to do things that don't necessarily work with older sets, but you need to kind of keep the game moving forward. You do have to kind of just be like, all right, sunset this set and or whatever.
Well, I think it's, yeah, but I think what's going to happen is similar to what happened with Magic, right? Like, so you're going to have multiple modes of play, right? So you'll have whatever the standard is, and it'll be probably whatever the most current three sets are. And then, you know,
modern,
and then you're going to have, exactly. Then you'll have modern, you'll have all of the classic, you know, abilities. And they're going to reprint cards. You know, that's the other thing. Like, you're going to see reprints of particularly powerful cards. We're already seeing it in the second and third set. But I imagine you're going to see staples like Waylays and Power of the Dark Side and some of these other like, you know, core cards are going to show up in some of these core sets. And you know, that's actually another thing that'll be kind of cool. You get to see new art for those core cards that we've had
Cool.
from that set. So you get to start to do the fun collector thing of, all right, which version of Power of the Dark Side is really my favorite? That's always kind of fun.
You know, that's interesting. I kind of like that idea. They're gonna have variant art of old cards that they're gonna do reprint, which is gonna be really cool. Yeah, from a collector's perspective, that's fantastic.
Also good for them on their side. It's like, oh, it'll
Yeah.
make you buy this card twice.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's for those hardcore collectors, which I'm struggling. I don't know if I want to do that for set four and beyond, but we'll see what happens. Don't know. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time this late evening on Tuesday. I'll even though the pod's gonna release on Thursday. Appreciate it. This is I think it's I think we it's safe to say this was a really good first year for the community and for this TCG game. And there's a lot of interesting and stuff to look forward for the next one. So to everyone else out there, thank you for listening. And until next time, may the force be with you.